Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Angel. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 21, Blind Date.
Woohoo.
I love this episode.
Yeah.
However.
Okay.
I want more of one side of it and less of the other.
Okay.
I love the Lindsay slash heist aspect of this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the blind woman assassin at all.
Yes, I will agree with that. It literally could be anybody. It doesn't have to be this like crazy blind woman assassin.
It could literally be Wolfram Hart is going to sacrifice children to get power.
Exactly. 100%.
And, like, they just have to stop it. Like the whole, I was like, I'm like jumping all around, but like when they get to the thing where they're like, oh, so she's this and she's going to go to this address. I'm like, I don't care. Can we move on to the story I care about?
Well, that's the other thing too, is like, I agree with you so much that in my head, I was like, God, it feels too early for it to be that woman that is like visiting Lila. And then I had to remind myself, no, that is a Season 2 episode.
Yeah.
And that girl is telekinetic. She's not blind. And I was like, oh, right. That's two episodes. Oh, and I prefer that one, that like that storyline to this one so much. And so you're totally right. It's very weird, that part of it. It just could be like literally any case or whatever, but the fact that they had to make that second part supernatural also, I think shows like, I think it, to me, it feels like they weren't, what's the word I'm looking for? They weren't like secure enough in the story they were telling. And they were like, we throw something else at the wall, it'll distract from the fact that like, we don't feel great about this.
Right.
Well, I have nothing to back that up with, but that's what it feels like.
I think it speaks to what we were saying about Season 1 where, like it's very Monsters of the Week.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Akin to Buffy Season 1. And I think they felt for whatever reason that they needed to do that. Like they definitely steer away from this once Angel matures into its own show, and they do things where like Angel, not to get super into the weeds, but the first one that comes to mind, and it's obviously not the first time it happens, but Angel and Spike traveling to Italy is such a non, like obviously there's a reason, but it's such a different episode than like, oh well, there's this demon and we have to defeat it,
right?
And Angel, the series gets to that point quickly in Season 2. Like there's a lot of, especially the whole gray area Angel storyline, it's like you're exploring things, and here I feel like they're like, well, we have to have some kind of demon or monster, and it's like, you don't have to.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me that's really sort of irritating about this episode, is because I'm totally with you. Like the whole vibe of Lindsay having this crisis of conscience, who like we've only met him like twice in this season so far, like he's not a character yet. And so also having Christian Kane be able to like portray that in a realistic way that like actually makes me feel feelings for him, I think is really impressive. And so for him to, I think that's enough, because it goes back to the thing that we've talked about before, where it's like, I had forgotten how little of Season 1 dealt with Wolfram and Hart. Yeah. Like it's so few episodes that actually are dealing with Wolfram and Hart. And so for me, I think I understand the instinct to do a Monster of the Week, because that's, you know, how Buffy started and how it continues and how they felt that Angel needed to start and how it also does vaguely continue. Like they gets more serialized, like you said. But I think what would have been a lot more interesting is if they leaned on the Wolfram and Hart sooner, where like we still have some Monsters of the Week and that's fine, whatever, but they're more of like a cold open. Like I think because Wolfram and Hart is literally the villain of the entire series of Angel, it disappoints me a little every time I watch the beginning that it takes so long to get there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is like really good at opening up the lore of Wolfram and Hart a little bit more and like figuring stuff out like that. But it also is like, it's episode 21, you know, like we're in this now. And so that's like my big thing with it. Like we could have been doing this a lot longer. And then in that case, we may have been able to miss the blind woman, you know?
Yeah. It's weird too, that they felt the need to do this style for all of Season 1 of Angel when you have the catalog of where Buffy, like, you should be able to continue the way Buffy, like, where Buffy was split off.
Right.
So you have Buffy and Angel both operating in that same world instead of like, okay, well, let's start over with Angel and get to where it's like, no, we're here. Like,
yeah.
Let's do it.
We're done. We've done this. And I think part of it is because, like, Buffy started with only a 12 or 13 episode season one. And that naturally lends itself to, like, you know, that's fine. That's an introduction to the universe. Yeah. It's totally cool. It's whatever. But I think what's like more annoying about that is that, like, we still could have done that on Angel just with, like, the first half, like the first 12, and then the back nine is all about Wolfram and Hart. But it's like they did the first 12 and like 12 or 13, and that was really great. And then they just were like, well, let's keep going for the back nine. And I'm like, I don't know.
I got
why,
nothing
though.
Else.
Like, why? Yeah.
Something about Angel's dad. I don't know.
And I will say it does help a lot that it's like almost we hit the ground running in season two, and it is very Wolfram and Hart, and it is very, you know, unified, and there's a lot more stuff like that. And that is really helpful. But it has brought me frustration.
Yeah.
Rewatching season one again.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think when Wes came along, it could have been like, okay, let's serialize.
So now let's get into this. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, this is the, for anybody who didn't catch what we're talking about or whatever, and you forgot what this episode is about, this is when Angel fights a blind woman in the beginning. Turns out she is an assassin. Wolfram and Hart is helping her, and she's basically going to kill some kids, and it makes Leslie question what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he wants out. So there's like a whole heist.
I will say, I do really like the like opening scene when like the guy on the street is like selling toys or whatever. And then he like stops to like let her go by. I don't know why that scene to me is like actually very charming kind of all around. I really dig it. And it's, if I liked her more, I think I would think it was even better, but there is something about it that's very captivating to me.
I don't like that scene.
Oh, okay. All right.
Only in the, like, I don't have a problem with the scene existing. I mostly just, it feels so staged. Mm. Like, the audio sounds ADR'd.
Yeah.
Like, the scene itself feels blocked.
Yeah.
Feels like, buy these toys so that there's toys in her way, you have to stop, and like, let's establish that it's a blind, like, to me it just feels very like telling me something instead of just like kind of dipping into this world. I always, for
That's
some
fair.
Reason I always bump on it, but I get what you're saying. I like what it does in the sense of what Buffy and Angel do a lot of, which we've talked about before, which is setting up an expectation and flipping it on its head.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would be interesting if they started this episode with this woman. She's an assassin, you know, do the whole thing. He throws her glasses in the court, and then that's the last we hear of her. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the episode is, you know, we find out that Wolfram and Hart, he's like, we're gonna have to sacrifice some kids, and that's when he wants out. And then she comes back later. I'd love it to be a redemption story, you know, like, she's got all these skills, and then you know, in season two, Angel stops her and like is like, why are you doing this, blah blah blah, something like that. It'd be fascinating. But she, as it is, she's just like a soulless killing. She's a human being, but like,
there are a handful of like one episode characters on Angel that I really do think could have instigated a longer range story. Like, even somebody who we haven't seen her again yet, but somebody like Anne, who you know, we saw her in the one episode, and we'll see her a little more going forward. I think she could have been, I would have liked her more, but even less than that, I think some of these one-off characters could have been another Anne, where he could have just like once or twice more pop up one more time, you know. And it's like, that doesn't happen, even though I really think it should. It's something that actually really bothers me when I go back and watch old TV shows, because it so rarely happens, just because of the way that like network television especially was set up. There was no way to really engage with like fan feedback. And I do think it's a fine line you have to walk, because there's a difference between like seeing the fan feedback and being like, oh, they're responding to the chemistry that these two people have, or they're responding to this character in a cool way. There's a difference between taking that and like going with the natural flow of the show, and then like being beholden to your fans, who are like not professionals at, you know, the business or whatever. So But I do think that there could have been more stuff like that, where it's like, by this point, there were people, there were like online fan forums and stuff. Like, you could have been just kind of being like, how are people responding to this? Like, maybe that's something that we could bring back in the future. How about this? Maybe that. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff that gets me, especially about like Buffy and Angel, where I'm like, how are there no more scenes with Spike and Joyce?
Right.
You know, there are like three scenes with Spike and Joyce. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That's it?
We should have more than that.
No more? How is Cordelia not like going out to lunch with Kate, like Detective Lockley? Like, how is that? Like,
right.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. So,
yeah.
That's like my small little rant about that in this one. But I agree with you. Like, it could have been cool if Vanessa came back once or twice. And
yeah.
I will say that like the way that they handle Lindsay and Lila going forward is like very satisfying. But they were always meant to be part of the show.
Yeah, they were meant to be a bigger thing.
Exactly. So in that way, it's like very frustrating. Where like there's tons of.
I'm curious if Angel and Cordelia were not ever intended to be a thing, and that was the fans being like, this chemistry is fire.
I don't know.
Were like, okay,
that would be interesting.
Like, their interactions throughout season one is so amazing.
Yeah.
In just its raw chemistry form. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not any indication of any indication of a romance building. It's just these characters work so well together, mm-hmm. and very clearly care about each other more than what's written on the page. And I'm curious if it was essentially the same thing that happened with Spike, where like they were like, oh, we're gonna kill him off, and the fans were like, Spike's the best fucking character that's ever existed. You're insane.
Just about that.
About
yeah, I don't know.
That.
I mean, that's very interesting to think about. I'm not sure, but I like even going beyond that, because like I have read like multiple fan fictions where like that vampire Lawson from season 5 of Angel is like a part of it. People took that character and fucking ran. And I'm
really?
Just like, wow, that's so interesting. He's literally in one episode.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind
of
stuff.
The one from the warship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
So that's the kind of shit that I'm like, that's actually sort of fantastic. And I once a show is over, unless it's like just a comedy or something, I only really engage with the fandom side of it. I like, a lot of times it's hard for me to go back, and because I just like start seeing all the cracks where I'm like, this is dumb that these characters didn't interact more.
you're showing someone new and you're like, just ignore that.
Just
part.
Ignore. It's fine. It's a plot hole, but we move on.
Fine.
We persevere.
We work with it. But yeah, so the show opens, as we talked about, the Vanessa, the blind woman, is walking down the street, and then we cut to Angel fighting some vampires. He finds a guy dying. He's attacked by Vanessa. He sees that she's blind, and then she like escapes. Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes actually in this episode that are just like, and then they fight.
And then they fight.
Like, Will is we're releasing Teen Wolf episodes right now, and Will's putting them out and editing them and everything, and every time that the werewolves have a fight with each other, he just like puts it in like super speed, and then just has has it say over the screen, werewolf rumble, because they go on for minutes.
You're like, I get it.
Yeah,
guys.
It's fine, we're good, it's fine.
And then after the credits, we go to Cordy and Wes figuring it out.
Of course, it's possible she's not a demon at all.
You think?
Perhaps she simply learned to hone her senses around her disability. Angel said it was as if she anticipated his actions before he carried them out.
A handy skill. In a fight or on a date.
Unusual, to be certain, but not necessarily demonic.
Someone like that kind of stands out in a crowd. For an assassin, I mean.
I really love their growing relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, they started really rocky. And, you know, it was understandable because it was on the heels of Doyle.
Yeah.
And Wes and Cordy already had, like, an awkward relationship to begin with. So it was it's really cool that they didn't come right in being great. And it's really cool to see them get to this point. Like, around the ring is when you really see them working super well together. And by here, you're just like, man, you guys are, like, a tight-knit group.
It's
really
like a team
this.
At this point. And also, I really it's very subtle, and he doesn't do anything like crazy or really flashy or anything. I love Wesley in this episode. Just kind of everything about his actions, most especially when Angel comes back with the scroll at the end. But like, mm-hmm. you're right, all of the stuff with Cordelia, there he is being, I think it's because they're both being very respectful of each other's strengths.
Yeah.
And it does help that Cordelia has seemingly learned how to type.
That was my next note, was like, Cordelia is really advanced in her computer skills. Which is also, when she was with Doyle, she was like, click, clack, click, clack.
Love it.
And now she's here. Like, in later in the episode, she's like, Willow's walking her through how to hack a thing. I'm like, okay. I fucking love this.
I have a bone to pick with that scene. Only specifically because Cordelia goes, hey, guess what Willow and them are doing today? Yeah. And they're like, what? She says it's the fact that she says today. What are they doing today? And she says, they're also unencrypting files. And I'm like, you mean to tell me that in between the time that Willow was de-encrypting the initiative stuff, and then when they broke into the initiative, she had time to walk Cordelia through how to unencrypt these disks?
An hour and 45 minutes, no less.
No way. I disagree. I would argue,
I mean, we're jumping all the way later, but I would argue that this was the conversation before it self-hacked. So she'd been spending all this time trying to do it.
Yeah.
And so she just was on the phone with Cordelia while she's like waiting mm-hmm. for it to decrypt. She's like, well, I got nothing. So it's like
after Willow picked up the laptop from Giles, but before... Right.
Before
they de-encrypted themselves. Itself, okay. Yeah. All right. Fine.
That's my assumption.
It still feels timing-wise like it does not work out, but whatever.
We're like, yay, crossover. Lindsay is defending Vanessa in court, and Angel throws the glass sunglasses, which is really great.
Yeah.
And then Angel reveals that Wolfram and Hart are defending her pro bono, which makes him think like, mm-hmm. oh, she's
working for them, essentially.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, I just wrote creep dude, which is Lee.
Yeah.
Talks creepily over Lindsay's shoulder. He's like, would you bang her? I'd totally bang her. I mean, okay. I'd be scared to. And I'm like, oh God, why are we doing this?
Is it me? Or is there something kind of hot about her? Well, I'm just saying, I wouldn't say no. I'd be too scared to.
Okay, it's truly disgusting. Lindsay is disgusted by it. Yeah. And he's also like, we're at work. Like, what are you doing? Like... But then I also love it too, because the guy who plays Lee looks a lot to me like Jim Parsons. And I'm like, I can't take it seriously. Like, you're like overcompensating for something, dude.
He's great. And then Lindsay and Holland talk.
And actually, the world isn't that complicated. It's designed for those who know how to use it.
Yes, sir.
Don't give me that yes, sir crap. I want you to think about these things. You're not going to be happy until you find your place in the scheme of things.
There's great chemistry here and great acting from both of them, because you'll find out later that he essentially... in a twisted sort of way, sees Holland as a father figure, like the ideal father compared to the father that raised him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting thing watching the way Holland knowingly uses that.
Yeah.
And the way he talks to them, and watching the way Lindsay admires Holland. And it's not in a, like, I think Holland is this great fatherly figure.
Right.
It's like, this is the man I wanted to stand up for my family kind of thing.
Well, I totally agree with you. And it's also like, especially, and I want to get more into it when we do get there in like a scene or two, especially given the way his interactions with Angel go in this episode. I think this whole episode is so revealing of Lindsay and who he is as a person and who he like wants to be as a person and like the things he's trying to overcome and everything. And so I think like when we get it at the very end, in the very last scene, that like Holland has been there for him for, what would you call that, 6 or 7 years, probably. Like, yeah. He sort of like plucked him individually. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also very important to like who Lindsay is as a person. And also, once you get in deep with something like that, you kind of are beholden in a way that you like maybe at the beginning didn't think you would be. But like by the time you realize you're in too deep, you're like, well, I can't say anything now. Like,
right. What's like, too much?
Exactly. Like, what would they take away from me if I pushed back? And so I find this episode very interesting, Lindsay-wise. And like I said, again, like, Christian Kane has a habit of playing characters that are just, like, or, like, being in shows, I guess, that are just, like, over the top and silly and goofy. And so I do love going back and watching him, like, this is actually, like, an emotional gauntlet in this episode. I think he does a really fantastic job.
He does, yeah. He really takes you on a roller coaster with him. And throughout the series, his story is messy as fuck, but like really, really fascinating to watch. Mm-hmm. And he carries it so well on his face.
I agree.
I also like that Holland is so relatively open with him. He's like, mm-hmm. I didn't pluck you because you're the smartest or the best. I plucked you because you know what it takes to survive. Like,
yeah.
He's very honest with him and to the degree that he can be, and to the degree that helps him in manipulating him.
Yeah.
But I think he does in somewhere in his cold, dark, you know, baked bean size of a heart have some kind of care for Lindsay.
Oh, of course. Yes. I mean, I think you can't really get there. You can't really get to the point of their relationship if you don't care at least a little bit. But I think what Lindsay kind of realizes in this episode is that he is not being groomed to be what he thought he was being groomed to be.
Yeah.
It's going down a much darker path that he didn't realize until they were like, this blind woman is going to kill 3 kids.
Yeah.
And you cover need to up. Prepare her defense so that she doesn't go to prison because we're going to need her again. And that's when he's like,
we're killing kids.
Yeah. He's like, I don't mind defending, like, you know, what, like, criminals, like, you know, everybody, you know, it's that whole everybody deserves a defense in a court of law thing. But it's also like, I think it chafes at him to know that they know what she's going to do. And like, instead of, but they're doing it on purpose because they would never try to stop her because it's going to benefit them.
Right.
Yeah.
You can do mental gymnastics all you want, but when it's right in your face, like, we are going to allow these children to be killed and you need to cover it up. He's just like, oh, we are the bad guys. Crap. We are the baddies. And then Angel is pissed that Vanessa gets off.
Mm-hmm.
And he, oh boy, Angel reminisces on what it was like.
It's their system, and it's one that works. It works because there's no guilt. There's no torment. No consequences. It's pure. I remember what that was like. Sometimes I miss that clarity.
But not the trying to kill your friends and family part, right?
I mean, I definitely, you get what he means for sure. But
well, because it's like, it's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, no, I mean, that's the literal whole allure.
Yeah.
When you become a vampire, it's like, oh shit, there is no, it's just do whatever you want. And it is a clarity. It's bad and evil and wrong, but it's like,
but you don't have to like agonize over your choices.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that. And if you got to experience that for hundreds of years and now, like, obviously he has to wrestle with it and it's hard and admirable that he does do that on a daily basis. It is something where it's just like in the back of your mind, you're like, fuck, it was so much easier when I didn't have to worry about any of this.
Yep. I get it.
And then right at his low, Lindsay walks in and says he needs help.
I love this scene.
I love and hate this scene.
Well, why do you hate it?
So I love the depth that we get from Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
So the scene we're talking about to the audience is when Angel and Lindsay talk. I love the depth that this gives to Lindsay. I love all the backstory that Lindsay was like legit poor and calling out Angel on like you
like straight
poor.
Up poverty. Yeah. I do love that too. Because I think what's really interesting, especially like today, like as I watched it today, I was like, it really highlights the the privilege that that all three of them come from, that Angel, Cordelia, and Wesley all come from. Even when Cordelia was living in that terrible apartment, it's like she was able to feed herself. She was able to keep a roof over her head. And it was like terrible, but, you know, she was able to do that. And that's the first time she's ever known struggle in her life. So it's like all three of them came from money and sort of stayed in a comfortable place. They have no clue. They're trying to like help disenfranchised people, but it also was like pretty gross in the Warzone episode with Gunn and all the street kids. It's like they have no idea.
Yeah, no clue
what that kind of shit is. And like, especially when Lindsay says there was like six of us, and when flu season came, there were four. And right. It's like two of his siblings died. Right. Like,
so that's the crux of where I get irritated in this scene, because I also agree with Angel when he says you didn't change because you wanted to be good. You changed because you realized you were in too deep, which is what you and I just talked about. The thing that bothers me is Angel is so fucking rude to Lindsay.
What was your father? It's a merchant, right? Linen and silk. Did pretty well. Had a couple of servants till you killed him.
Just the one.
Well, a lot of files on her 100%, but I guess it's fair to say that you've never seen anything like real poverty. I'm talking dirt poor. No shoes, no toilet. Six of us kids in a room. And come flu season, it went down to four. I was seven when they took the house. They just came right in and took it. And my daddy's being nice, you know? Joking with the bastards while he signs the deed. So yeah, we had a choice. You got stepped on or you got to step in. And I swore to myself that I was not gonna be the guy standing there with a stupid grin on my face while my life got dribbled out. I'm
sorry. I nodded off. Did you get to the part where you're evil?
Okay.
And I'm like, you, like, I am with Lindsay listening to this speech, and I am not watching it for the comedy they think that they're doing with Angel pretending to fall asleep. I am 100%. Not. I am, like, fully invested, and I'm like, oh, shit, we have a new ally. Let's treat this with care. This 100%. Could be your sponsor. This could be, like, you and Lindsay keeping, like, for the next five seasons, keeping each other on track. To, like, redeem yourselves.
Absolutely.
And instead, Angel is just like, no, I'm the only good true champion, and fuck you, and I'm falling asleep during your boring-ass shit. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That's what I hoped was your problem with the scene. Yeah. Because it's not a problem for me with the scene. It just keeps highlighting how Angel is actually kind of just shitty all the time, no matter what. But I find it so fascinating, especially all the things you just said, because you're totally right. They could have found a way to, like, actually keep Lindsay like on their team. And that's not to say he is not sometimes on their team, and like he basically, like, going forward, he does a lot on his end to like sort of ensure that things don't go to plan for Wolfram and Hart, as like to the extent that they want them to. But you're totally right. Like, imagine someone coming to you and telling you their deepest, darkest secrets and being like, I had to get out of poverty. So I literally clawed and scraped my way into a job at an excellent law firm where I have money now and I can take care of people. And I'm never going to go back to where I was because it was truly horrific in a way that you can absolutely never understand given your upbringing. And for then to meet that with like mockery and derision, whereas like it's sort of, it goes to the whole, like, I'm gonna get vaguely political for a minute, but it's like all of these like male senators who are like, well, as the father of a daughter, I like blah blah blah, whatever. And it's like, that's obviously shitty. You shouldn't have to have a daughter to understand that women are people. But if that's what it takes for you to understand that women are people, then by all means, like, if that's the thing that crossed the mental block that you were having to realize, then that's all it takes. If Wolfram and Hart murdering kids is the thing that it takes for Lindsay to realize that he's in too deep, Angel should be counting his blessings. And instead he's like, well, you didn't do it like on your own. You just like realized that they've always been doing bad shit. And it's like, yeah, and this is the bad thing that's one step too far for me and I want out.
Right.
You're totally right. It's so gross the way Angel behaves to him in this episode. And I remember even before, when I was watching it today, I was like, man, the smugness coming off of him is unbelievable.
The audacity.
It's
of
so
Angel,
rude. Yeah.
It's so rude. Yeah. It irritates me every time he does the fake falling asleep thing. Cause I'm just like, what are you doing, man? We have a chance here to literally help someone who's went down your path.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking, the problem is he's looking in the mirror and he doesn't like what he sees.
I'm sure that's 100% true. And I also have kind of a bone to pick with this scene. Like, why are Cordelia and Wesley not in the room? Because I don't think either one of them would have let him get away with that.
Yeah, they would have. Because even, yeah, even later, I feel like they're, oh, we'll get to it. Because I have a whole thought process about when Angel gets back. But yeah, I agree. I don't think that, I think Cordelia would be like, what the fuck, Angel? Like,
yeah, I think there's also a huge difference between being like, how am I supposed to trust you versus, oh, sorry, I got bored about your like sad story. When did you turn evil? And it's like, that's not...
It's
not that black and white, and he's just being a prick about it.
And he knows that it's not that black and white.
100%.
And he's about to get very not black and white in the next season, so
that's also true.
So yeah, it's annoying. I do like the ending of it where he's basically like, I don't trust you. And he's like, if I get myself killed, will you trust me? And that's the start. I do like that part because it is true. It's like, yeah, you can't just tell them this thing and then like sit in the sidelines, put your neck on the line just like Angel is and like be in there and prove yourself. But yeah, it could have been the beginning of a different path for Lindsay than what we have. Yeah. Although I do like Lindsay's path.
Oh, for sure.
For the record, I love the arc that Lindsay has. I even like the way it ends
because
it very much turns on you. But yeah, I don't know. I just get really mad at Angel in this scene, but it's a great scene.
Yeah, it's a super great scene.
And then the team plans the heist, which is the whole heist element is my favorite part of the episode. I wish it was bigger and more. Angel talks to Gunn.
Give me one good reason.
It'll be extremely dangerous.
Okay.
Lindsay goes in, the heist starts, and he runs into Lila. They both lie to each other because you know Lila's up to something.
I love she's Lila. Being, is this her so first suspicious. Episode?
No, The Ring was her first episode.
That's right, she was, yeah. I am obsessed with her. I love her so much. Oh, yeah, no, she's been in three episodes already.
Yeah, she was in the Faith episodes.
I just love her. Her name's Stephanie Romanoff. She's fantastic.
She's
I think Lila is such a deep an interesting character that we like, even given how much stuff she gets going forward, I feel like we only scratch the surface of like what Lila could be.
Her and Wesley.
Oh
man.
My God. I can't. Oh, it's can't so even. Good.
So good. Lindsay makes his way to the security room. Gunn shows up and makes a scene, which is hysterical.
It's so funny. I love
I love when he goes, oh,
did you just step on my foot? Was that my foot you just stepped on? Are you assaulting me up in this haven of justice?
And he just like gets into a whole, it's like, it's so funny. I love when characters do this because he like, he just sort of leans into his blackness in order to make all of the white people uncomfortable. And just like, and it works because they are all already so uncomfortable. Yeah,
they just stand off. They're like, I'm not trying to get in trouble.
Oh yeah.
Here.
It's so funny. And then like, they basically have brought a vampire in to trick the sensors because they are like vampire sensors.
Which also, like, it's so weird to me that there's this demon whose sole purpose, it seems, is to sense vampires. I'm like, that's its power. It just knows when a vampire's around. And then just agreed to just sit there in a security office forever.
I mean, maybe they're like keeping him supplied and whatever it is he wants for payment. But no,
I would have almost loved
funny.
If he was one of those types of demons that that's very much
like Clem.
Where he's just like getting donuts and walking in the security room like, oh, hey, there's a vampire here. Instead of just like this demon in a cloak that goes,
yeah. Love that though, that he like, that's how they distract it. Bring in
brilliant.
Another vampire so you won't sense Angel coming in at the other entrance. I think it's great.
It was great. And I love that was Angel immediately thought of that when they were like, oh, there's a vampire sentry. He's like, not a problem. And Cordelia's like, what? But sir. Angel wearing a suit goes into the vault, takes out the security guard with Wesley's help, which is also amazing. I think I also love the heist because it just shows such great teamwork. Like just yeah. everything
working. I have one complaint, and it's that I wish that they hadn't done a close-up of David Boreanaz's finger touching the demon, because it's so clearly like a plastic mask or like plastic piece, because it like goes in a little, and I'm like, you could have used the wide side shot, you guys, because you like see it and the plastic goes like bloop. It's really weird.
It's dumb, but I like it. I like that he falls over and then he steals the thing. It's all going smoothly, and then the angel sees the scroll.
Yep.
And he's called to it and he grabs it.
It doesn't really mess up their heist.
Yeah, Angel's able to get out. It just fucks up
Lindsay.
And so Lindsay, Lila, and Lee get called into the mind readers. I love that Lila is so unbothered.
Yeah.
I love it because you get the sense when she runs into him down below that she's up to no good.
Of course.
But she's so confident in her ability to like cover her own bases that she's they're not going to get anything.
So I actually read it differently than that. I read it as she is unbothered because she is up to no good, but it's like sanctioned no good. Like she's, I don't think she's doing anything against Wolfram and Hart. I think she has 100% drunk the Kool-Aid at this point.
Oh, 100%. I think her up to no good is like she's fucking over Lee and Lindsay and like doing dirty dealings.
Yes.
And they're like, we love, or not even specifically them, but like they're like, we love, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not above board, but nothing we do is above board.
Of course.
That's why I'm like, she's unbothered because she's like, they don't give a shit transferring this money to this guy and getting this guy killed. Like, 100%.
There would be nothing that Lila is doing that would get her in trouble, because I think she's just 100% sold on Wolfram and Hart at this point.
Right. Yeah. I love the twist that it's Lee, and it makes so much sense, because when I first watched the show, I was like, oh, well, why did they keep Lindsay alive? If it's both of them, why do this whole song and dance? Like, what Lindsay's doing is bad. But then watching it a lot over and over, I'm like, okay, well, what Lee did is so against Wolfram and Hart. Like, it's so actively going against Wolfram and Hart. It's not even... Because Lindsay's like just trying to stop kids from being killed. As Holland says, like, you just had a crisis of conscience.
Yeah.
And that I understand, because people experience that here all the time. But Lee actively was trying to steal clients and go to a different firm.
Yeah.
And they're like, absolutely not.
I do and also.
They kill. It's so violent. Like, shooting
it's
him
super.
In the head.
Oh, just right
God.
There, too.
Yeah, right
His
there.
Blood is on
all
Lindsay the rest
Lindsay,
of the
yeah.
episode. And so the other thing, too, that I actually quite like about that scene is I think it part of it is like a keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing with Lindsay, where, you know, once we get to the end, Holland is basically like, here's everything you ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it's to entrench him further.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Angel comes back and they realize Lindsay didn't get out. And this is the scene I was talking about where they're not necessarily heartbroken over Lindsay not making it out, but they do clock that Angel doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
In a way that they clock what Angel does in season two.
Sure.
In the way that they're just like, wait, you did what? It's not nearly as intense or serious as that, but it is a thing where I notice on their faces, they're just like, and it makes sense. Like, Angel's being logical. He's like, if he made it out, he comes to us. If he didn't make it out, there's no point in me trying to break in there again. This was already such a risky thing.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, Lindsay went in fully knowing that it could be a suicide mission.
Right.
So,
yeah. So it was just, I notice Cordelia and Wesley clock that Angel's just like, I don't give a shit, before he gives the logical, like, if he went in and he couldn't get out, then he's dead anyway.
Yeah.
And then Wesley asks Angel why he took the scroll, and Angel's like,
I don't really know.
I think that's also great. Like a really good subtle piece of acting from David Boreanaz, who doesn't always get that to do a lot. Sometimes these people are really good at their jobs.
Sometimes I get mad, and
sometimes
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
That's a really great scene, and it's also just like, it's funny because when I first watched it, like the very first watching it live on TV, I was just like, it, you know, whatever. He picked up this thing. Why'd you pick up that thing? Why'd you risk everything? This is fucking stupid. Now watching it, having seen it 20 times over, however mm-hmm. many times, it has so much weight.
Yeah.
When he lifts it, it feels so heavy to me because I'm like, uh-huh. I know the next four seasons surrounding this fucking thing.
Yep.
It's really fascinating. It's just another like testament to what it's like rewatching the show. Like, for instance, someone just pointed out to me on my, this is a total side tangent, but someone pointed out to me on my Halloween Lego animation online mm-hmm. that there's a moment in the Halloween episode where Giles is like, Willow, get out of here. And she's a ghost and she leaves and the sound effect of the door opening and closing happens. And I was like, and he was like, but she's a ghost. And I was like, and I went and listened. And I was like, I have literally never heard that. It's so funny. There's always some new shit when you rewatch the show. By the way,
I'm sure you'll have put out many more by the time that this episode airs. Yeah. But I laughed myself into like a headache watching that.
After you posted it.
Well, he like all of the Dewey Decimal cards go everywhere and then he falls down. It's so funny. It's so funny. I couldn't stand
Yay.
It. Yeah.
That's so fun. Lindsay and Holland talk and Lindsay admits that he wanted out and Holland knows he's having a crisis of conscience. He basically is like, you can leave. Like, he's very, I feel like Holland, he's not 100% confident, but he's pretty damn confident that Lindsay's going to come back.
Yeah.
Because he knows Lindsay. Like, he picked him for a reason. And then Willow helps Cordelia for an hour and a half and and tells her that we talked about this, where she says, we've been hacking records.
All day.
I love when Cordelia goes, what's that? Oh, no one. Wesley.
Yeah.
It's just Wesley. And Wesley's like, ugh.
Thanks.
But it's also cute. Like, I love just the growth of Cordelia and Willow being like, Cordelia's not annoyed talking to Willow for an hour and 45 minutes. I think that's great. And Cordelia's grown computer wise, mm-hmm. like already so much growth on Cordelia on an emotional level, on an intellectual intelligence, everything. She's just to the moon.
Like neither one of them seems annoyed to be talking to the other, even though they're both in the middle of something super important. Right.
Yeah. And then I just wrote, I'm so uninterested in the Vanessa story. I'm like, whatever, just go fucking save it and let's get back to Lindsay.
Which is Lindsay exactly what happens.
Right. Lindsay shows up. Angel seems slightly happy that Lindsay came back. He's got a little smile when he says, you made it out okay.
Yeah.
And I think there's promise, especially in his reaction in the next episode when he finds out that Lindsay stayed.
Yeah.
I think that gave him a little hope that Lindsay literally came back to the office. And then Vanessa shows up to kill the kids. Angel kills her pretty quickly.
It's actually not that quick. It goes for longer than it should.
Yeah, well, because he has to figure out how to fight her, and then he does the whole, which is clever. I will say she does have, in this scene in particular, she has a striking resemblance to Eliza Dushku.
I thought the same thing.
I like literally had to go look it up. I was like, does she have a sister that I don't know about? Yeah. Like, what is, why does she look so much like her?
When I watched it a few months ago for the first time in a while, I was like, she's so familiar. And I looked her up and she's like nobody. And I was like, why is she? But she does look like Eliza Dushku for sure.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And then they save the kids. And Wesley talks to Angel about the prophecy that says it's about you. It doesn't mention you by name. It just says a vampire with a soul. I really like that they don't mention him by name, because mm-hmm. obviously for specific reasons in season five. But I really like, because right now it is, for all intents and purposes, it's about Angel. He's the only vampire with a soul right now. And I like that struggle that happens throughout the rest of the series, especially in the first episode next season, like kind of reminding himself like that's not what this is about, and constantly having to remind himself up until the finale in season five. I mean, I'm not really spoiling anything.
No, but that
people,
is like, that is the whole vibe of this show, is like, what it's, you know, like, what can you do to help? And like, it sort of goes to like a good place type of place where it's like, if you're doing it for your own benefit, does that
then it negates it,
negate
right?
The worth of it. And like, I mean, I don't agree with that, but you know.
Well, I also, what I really like about it is it's very especially with what happens later, it's very Harry Potter versus Neville Longbottom. Like, it can be either. It depends it depends on, like, the way things unfold. And I like that about prophecies and shows and movies, when it's, like, it's not, it's never, I mean, in most prophecies, it's never legitimately, it's almost always against what people think.
Yeah.
And so I like that it's just like, you know, this is generally what we're talking about, and you just kind of watch how that unfolds. So we'll have a lot more to say about that in the later seasons. And then Lindsay and Holland talk, and Holland's just like, I'm pretty confident you're gonna stay. Here's the fucking office. And
because also this is important, Holland is going to join the senior partners.
Yeah,
which is moving forward, a very big deal. Yeah, I don't know. I like this episode a lot, and I am with you about Vanessa. She could lift right out, and we could have had so many more interesting scenes with Lindsay.
Yeah,
and whoever.
It's just so unnecessary. I don't know why. Well, I mean, we know why, but I wish they did something different. But yeah, that's it. And so now we have the next 2 weeks are going to be the finales. Woo-hoo. Fucking amazing finales.
Really
both
good.
Of these finales. Yeah. I forgot, because I just watched the Angel finale for my art piece, which I'm working on now. And it's so fucking good.
It's really good.
So good. Like, I cry in that finale. It's so good. And it's not a crying finale. Like, I get choked up for what happens to Cordelia. It's such a good... Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. Can't wait, though, for next week's Restless.
Oh, my God. Me too. I'm so excited to talk about Restless.
That episode might go on forever. Because it's just like... I'm like... And then in the next 5 seconds... There's this in the background, and one person says this line, and the third word of that line relates to this. But yeah, I'm excited. So that's it for this episode. Stay tuned for our finales, and then we're gonna get into season 5.
I can't wait.
So excited. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Trevor Carley.
And I'm with my other show, at So I'm Watching, or my personal account at FiddleDD85.
And as always, do all the things, and we will see you next week.
Bye.